Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter where you're listening, around the world, this is Sedona Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, and welcome to a very special co-hosted edition of Keeping the Path Lit and At the Movies with Joanna on Sedona Talk Radio. I'm Sonia Haramis.
And I'm Joanna Paxinum.
And we are thrilled and honored to welcome our very special guest today, the legendary and beloved comedian, author, chef, and stage, television and film star, and entertainer extraordinaire, Dom DeLuise.
Oh, hello.
Welcome,
hello,
Mr. DeLuise.
It's such a pleasure to be on this, on the radio with you.
We're delighted.
Absolutely.
And first of all, we love you.
Oh, and I love you back. Are you mother and daughter, and are you in the same place?
Yes.
Yes, we
are. Oh, how nice. That's great.
And so right at the outset, we'll give this information at the close of our show, but I want to make sure that our listeners have your website, which is www.domdeluise.com. And listeners, go there. You'll find out all about, you know, Mr. DeLuise, as well as his cookbooks, his cooking videos, children's books, artwork, lots of great information and gifts. And then also, if you want to find out more about his books, which are fantastic, you can also find that information there on the website, as well as Bookmasters, www.bookmasters.com. If you want to find out specifically about Eat This Again, that's bookmasters.com/narktplc/02004eat.htm. So my show...
Well, thank you. Well, that's a lot of plugs. Wow.
Well, you deserve it. You deserve it.
Yes, I do.
You're beloved for generations by millions of people all over the world. And
I've been very lucky. You know, I've been enjoying myself so much. One of the best things that I could do is perform, and I get to do it a lot, which I really thank God for. It's great.
Well, and audiences love you when you perform. Absolutely love you.
Are there any upcoming performances that you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, I'm on a radio show,
mm-hmm.
believe it or not,
yeah.
called On the House, and if you want to find out where it is, if you go to your website, go to at DomDeLuise.com, it'll tell you about my radio show that's usually on Saturday for, I don't know, it's on for 3 hours, and I do about a half hour of it every Saturday.
Oh, fantastic.
Called On the House.
Oh, that's great.
It is good.
You know, growing up, whenever I saw you, whether it was on TV or at the movies, I doubled over in laughter, and I still do today.
Geez, I'm so grateful. You know, as a comedian, if you tell me that you laugh at me, I'm halfway home. That's very good.
Well, you know, you're just the kind of person, as soon as anybody sees you, there's joy. You know, wherever you go.
You got to ask my children and you got to ask my wife.
Okay.
My dog.
You know,
I disagree with you, you know.
Aw. You know,
so, Sonia, grow up?
I grew up in New Jersey. And I spent a lot of my summers in New York because my mom grew up in New York City and my dad grew up in Brooklyn. Family still there in Brooklyn, Staten Island, New York. So I feel like we have a very similar family background. You know, reading your book, Eat This Again, it'll make you feel better. All the stories and the love that you have for your mother and your family, very similar background. You know, I grew up in the same way, with big family.
Oh, that's great. It's interesting. My wife grew up in New Jersey. And I grew up in Brooklyn, and there were different rules. You know, I mean, I grew up in a neighborhood that had people like John Scunziano, you know, another guy named Dominic Bimbo, you know, these were just the Jews, you know, so we were very, very Italian.
Mm.
All the stores just sold, you know, like bread, ravioli, the ravioli store, you know.
That's my kind of food. I could eat that 24/7.
It was good. It was very good. And yeah. Everybody spoke kind of Italian, you know,
because
a lot of the immigrants ended up there, you know.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, the same thing with the Greeks, like they'd cluster around.
On Sunday morning, does that happen? The Greeks were all in one neighborhood.
Yeah.
Well, on Sunday morning, if you walk down the middle of the street, you would smell garlic because everybody's making a spaghetti sauce.
Yeah.
So it was very, very familiar.
Yeah.
Well, you know, love is food, and food is love, and when we eat together, we experience that. And when I cook, I feel like I'm cooking with my grandmothers. You know, both of them have passed on. And I have one of my grandmothers, her pots and pans, and when I cook using their recipes and smelling the same aromas, I feel them with me, and it brings back those memories from my childhood growing up in New Jersey.
I agree with you. My mother used to make lasagna, and when she walked from the kitchen into the, actually it was the living room with a big table in it, because we didn't have a dining room, everybody would cheer and applaud as she walked in with the food. You know, it was very interesting. And it was lovely. We laughed a lot.
Yeah. I grew up in a big Greek family in New York, and we had lots of cousins and aunts and everything, and it was really nice. You know, we had a lot of laughs, a lot of fun, some arguments, but there was always that feeling of love around.
Absolutely. Do you still make Greek food?
Now that my kids are grown, not as much as I used to, but I have my favorite recipes handed down, and... Yeah, still. And then now they're saying it's such a healthy diet, too, the Mediterranean meal.
It is or it isn't?
It is.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yeah.
Listen, the first time I tasted Greek chicken soup with that lemon flavor, I said, this is home. This is great. I loved it, you know.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Awfully good food.
Yeah. That's the thing. You're tasting home. And, you know, I still try to cook. And the thing is, a lot of times I can taste, whether it's, even if I'm following a recipe, I can sort of taste. And I kind of ask, Grandma, you know, guide me here. Do I add a little more? Do I add a pinch of this? Do I add a little, you know, something of that? And I remember reading one of the recipes that you talked about your mother and how she would use a pinch of this or a little bit of...
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the funny thing is, and I wrote 3 cookbooks, Eat This, It'll Make You Feel Better. Eat This, Too, It'll Also Make You Feel Better, and Eat This Again. Now, all of those recipes in there were from my mother.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of work to try to get her to tell me 4 or 5 ingredients and, you know, how to make it so that it would taste like your grandmother did it.
Yeah.
You know? And I got some very nice reviews because they said the recipes were all simple and easy to do and pretty authentic, which really pleased me.
Yeah, oh, they sound delicious. I know my mother left us recipes, but my mother-in-law, she never learned to read or write, so she had all these recipes in her head, and she was a fantastic cook and baker, but unfortunately, we lost all that because nobody thought to write everything down for her.
Yeah, I wrote it all down. It took me a long time. And I got wonderful pictures of my mother cooking.
Yeah.
You know, she made one thing called egg croquettes.
Mm-hmm.
The bread, a lot of eggs, a lot of cheese, a lot of parsley. Mm. And then they would become, it would be like a mush that would sit for a while. Then you'd put it into a very thin tomato sauce, and they became dumplings. And then she'd add peas, and then you'd put it all, after it cooked for half an hour, on top of white rice, and it was so simple, so cheap, and so wonderful.
And so nutritious.
You know, too.
And nutritious.
I think what our mothers and grandmothers and what you're doing, really with the cooking, is an alchemy. It's like you put your love and your heart into the food, and everybody feels it, enjoys it. Like you said, there was so much laughter around the house on Sundays. And probably all the time. And, you know, it's like an alchemy. There's something magical that happens. And, you know, that's a gift. That's a gift. And what a gift that
you... Yeah, no, there's no question. We always told stories. And some of the older folks told stories, and there were gales of laughter.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted to go home or leave.
Right.
You know what I mean? We all sat around... I remember my brother and my father laid on a couch, and my brother's hand was touching the floor, and I guess they unbuckled their buck You know, they unbuckled their pants and the ladies did the dishes. And then they would have something like walnuts and nuts with bread. Oh. And they would eat it with bread. And I was with Anne Bancroft one time, and I said we would finish a meal with, you know, bread and nuts. And she grabbed some bread and grabbed a nut, and I said, are you going to trust me? She said, anything you talk about, when you're talking about food, I'll try. I trust you, she said.
Oh.
It was good. I miss her.
Oh. Yeah. She was a very fine actress.
One of the best.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my show, Keeping the Pathlit, is something that focuses on how we keep the pathlit for one another and how we're angels to one another. And you know, with your humor, with your heart, with your cooking, you've kept the path lit for millions of people all over the world for years, and we thank you and we honor you for that.
Well, you're very sweet. When you say you honor me, I'm just so flattered, and you know, I'll take it. But you know, I'm shaking my head about what you're going to honor me for.
Well,
you know, all I did was be me.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, you had.
It was interesting when I walked into Dean Martin's dressing room. I was nervous as a cat. He was laying on the couch, and his daughter has, you know, she was laying with him on another couch. And then on the table, the big coffee table, there was ham, gabagool, provolone, Swiss cheese, rolls, all cut up in a bag with mustard and slices of tomato. And I said, I could be friends with this guy.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, it was like a, you know, like your cousin's dressing room. It was like he was so familiar to me, you know. It was great. When my mother came in, she went to give him a kiss, and he grabbed her hands, and he kissed my mother on the hand.
Aww.
And she said, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And there was a picture of him with Cardinal Spellman. And Dean said, that's the proudest moment of my life.
Wow.
And he got teary-eyed.
Aww.
So we had a wonderful feeling about the kind of man he was, very much a family man.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very friendly to me, to my sister, my brother, everybody, especially my mother. He was really great.
I loved him.
And you should have. He was a very special man.
Yeah. And you did his show for a long time.
About 12 years. I was on his show for about 12 years.
Wow.
And now they're selling the shows and some of the, you know, the roasts.
Yes, I see that.
It's a lot of fun because a lot of things happen that were spontaneous.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, in preparing for our talk with you today, we watched some of the episodes from The Tonight Show, and, you know, we always felt and saw your heart and wanted to be part of it, especially when we saw you and Burt Reynolds on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And
right. I did a trick that I learned in the bar about using a broom and candles and eggs.
We
and
saw that.
Yeah.
What fun.
That was his.
And then Burt
miracle.
Came out, and I knew Johnny put whipped cream down his face.
We did. We saw that.
We saw that. You know, you've brought such joy to the world, and no one can touch you today.
No.
Well, I'm very lucky because, first of all, I am a spontaneous fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when I'd work with Greg Garrison, who was the producer, director of the Dean Martin Show, he'd say, let it happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Dean would always respond to whatever it was that you came up with. And he was always very clever. And so, and a lot of people knew that he hadn't done it, so they got a feeling of the spontaneity. It was really special.
It was, and it was fun for the audience to watch. I got a big kick out of that. And
oh, sure.
And picking up that it was spontaneous. I mean, it was really funny. Humor from the heart, really. And we as the audience, really enjoyed it. And, you know, you say, why should you be honored? Well, you're living a really phenomenal life. You've been you are a success in all facets of entertainment. And plus, you have a very wonderful family and devoted
family. I do. My wife and I have been married, I think, 42 years. It's a long time.
Wow.
And we actually have one kid who's 41.
Wow.
It's Peter. He's got a child, lives in Canada, does very, very well.
That's
got a most
wonderful.
Beautiful wife in the world.
That's right. And all three sons, are they in show business?
Yeah, and my son Michael was on a show called the Gibson Girls.
Oh, sure.
And also he was on NYPD.
Oh, wow.
Or the Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore, right.
Right. And then David is currently where he was on a show called Third Rock from the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
And he's currently playing the dad on a show called The Wizards of Waverly Place for Disney.
Oh.
And a lot of kids just pick him out and just want his picture. And he's real sweet to everybody. And he knows how blessed he is. So he says that too, you know. It's good.
It's very good. It's very good.
And then I have three grandchildren. I have one that's 15, one that's 10, and one that's 4.
Aww.
Who is amazing.
Oh, that's
you
so
know.
Cute.
They're so lucky to have you as their grandfather.
Yeah.
They are lucky.
Do you have any special philosophy of life other than hard work?
Well, I like to work hard just because I enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
And then my work is something I used to run to, you know.
Mm.
I ended up working with Pavarotti at the Met.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an opera called Deflatormouse, the flying mouse, like
uh-huh.
the bat. And I was in the last act, and I did it for over a 5-year period. I never had so much fun in my life.
Oh, wow.
You know, one time Pavarotti came on, and it was the grandest feeling.
Oh, what a magnificent voice he had.
Didn't he have the best?
Yeah. I understand you are an opera buff. You really love opera.
I love opera, and the first time I took my wife to see La Boheme, she just wept and wept.
Aww.
And at the end, when she committed suicide, my wife was still crying when they were sweeping up the theater,
Aww.
You know. And I was holding her, and she just cried so much. I thought, I married the right girl. A sentimental, you know, girl like that. It was great.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I'm so enjoying your cookbook, especially the stories of the families. And you say your mom used to always say, eat this, it'll make you feel better.
She really did. And I say, Mom, I'm so full. She'd say, well, eat this, it'll make you feel better. And, you know, I'm still a round cherub, you know. I think what happened was that when I was born, everybody manhandled me and gave me a cookie. You know. So I knew I should go easy, you know.
But it works. You do feel better when you eat something that somebody loves you.
Sure, the
you
comfort
know,
of food, absolutely.
Cooks you.
Well, we had in my family, instead of eat this, it'll feel better, it's they never felt you were eating unless your plate was full to overflowing. And
absolutely.
When you said, that's enough, you still got at least 2-3 more spoonfuls.
I know what you're talking about. You know, pasta fazool was one of our favorite things.
Yes.
And my son was making a movie one time, and he said, now you'll sing the pasta fazool song. And I said, what's that? And he said, well, don't you have a pasta fazool? I said, no, but I'll work on it. And here's what I wrote. To the tarantella, I wrote the recipe for pasta fazool, which is beans and macaroni.
Mm.
First, you take a lot of garlic and you put it in some oil. Then you get a little pasta and bring it to the boil. Salt and pepper, fresh tomatoes, and basil, just a teeny, and then the main ingredient, the cannellini beanie. There are those who enjoy it, and they go into a trance. Most Italians, when they eat it, they break into a dance. If you like it, and you eat it, and you are a dancing fool, then you're eating, and you're dancing the pasta fazool. I sang it in the wrong key, but you know my heart's in the right place.
Oh.
Now we have to add musician to your
resume. Yeah, right.
So what's your favorite dish to make?
I got to admit that I like ravioli.
Oh, yeah.
I do like ravioli. I like meatballs, and I like veal cutlets. My mother made great veal cutlets, and my mother used to make a braciole where you take beef and you pound it, and then you roll it up and you put garlic and parsley and grated cheese inside, and you either sew it or wrap it up with thread or use a toothpick, and that was good. I like that.
You know,
look, I admit I like sausages, peppers, and onions.
Yeah, I do.
And
so.
I'm home.
What advice would you give a new cook?
A new cook?
Yeah, someone just starting out.
Well, you know, it's so easy. If you like to cook, or if you like it, you pay attention, and people love to share their secrets with you.
That's
true. A little of this, a little of that. You know, with sausage, I know it seems strange, but I boil it in water for just a moment, and I throw the first water away, and then I cook it, you know, regular. But that's a little trick that any Italian will tell you, you know.
That's a great tip. Thank you.
Yeah, just to get rid of the surface oil and fat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, I was in Italy one time, and my relative said, would you like us to cook with a fire outside? So I said, yeah, they had a perfectly new kitchen, and they built a fire outside, and they made fried potatoes outside, you know, with wood burning, and that was, oh, it was so delicious, I couldn't get over it. And then they had an oven, and they built a fire in the oven. They moved all the firewood on the side, and they baked a cake, and it looked like a professional cake.
That's
I said,
amazing.
I don't know how they do it, you know.
Amazing.
It was great.
Well, if we could switch to your movie career, what's your favorite movie that you made?
Oh, I made a lot of favorite movies. I did one movie with Burt Reynolds called The End.
Yes.
Then I worked with Dolly Parton in something called The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Uh-huh.
And then I did one with Mel Brooks called, I was almost going to forget, The 12 Chairs.
Uh-huh.
And then another one called History of the World, Part 1. And I've been in a lot of movies, and I really have enjoyed them so much. Dolly Parton was so much fun to be with. I couldn't believe it.
She looks like a really nice person, too.
Yeah, the best.
Really.
The best.
Yeah,
she laughed. She loved to laugh.
And, of course, you did a lot with Burt Reynolds. I know he's one of your close friends.
That's right. We did a lot of movies together.
Yeah.
We've been very lucky because I liked him so much that it was like having a brother.
Oh, that's wonderful.
To work with, you know.
Well, he said you're the funniest man on the face of the earth. And I think that that's true.
Well, God bless him. I think that's great.
Yeah. So do you
see each other a lot, and he's a good man. I think he's happiest when he's doing a movie.
Oh.
You know, he just, sometimes we were working and they said, it's going to take 4 hours to get the rain effect right.
Uh-huh.
He said, okay.
Wow.
You know, 4 hours, wow.
You've got to have a lot of patience when you're making movies.
Yeah, a lot of patience. You got to hurry up and wait.
Yeah. Do you prefer making movies or TV or in person?
I like movies, making them a lot, because if you go to Yugoslavia, they'll say, oh, it's you, you know. So that it really takes you a long way.
Yeah.
I like television. I love being on the stage. That's a big, big, big enjoyment for me.
Yeah.
Doing plays or my nightclub act.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to do it all, but the movies give you a lot of satisfaction.
They do.
Well, we're just so grateful that you're here doing all of everything that you're doing, the performances, the cookbooks, the cooking show, the radio show. We're just so happy that you're here on this planet with us.
Well, it's my pleasure. You sure do know how to flatter a guy. Wow.
Well, it's sincere.
It's from the heart.
I take it from the heart, and I'm very, very touched. I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate it, too. Is there anything you'd like to talk about that we haven't mentioned yet?
I'll tell you, I'm getting older. I miss my mother.
Oh.
I miss my brother. I miss my old pets. I love pets. And
yeah.
I used to have a dog named Princey, and he was just great. And we didn't even take him upstairs. We kept him in the basement.
Aww.
And he would play in the snow, and it was great memories. Listen, when I went to the movies, you needed one dime and one penny. 11 cents would get you to the movies. I couldn't believe it. You know, I said to my father, can I have 11 cents? He said, sure. And I said to my mother, can I have another 11 cents the next day? She said, well, you went yesterday. I said, well, Papa said I can go again. He said, no, Mom. My mother said, Papa talked to me, and he told me he didn't want you to go 2 days in a row. It was 11 cents for good.
Yeah.
For God.
And you were there practically all day.
Yeah, and I used to stay there. And we'd walk in whenever we walked in. If it was the middle of the picture, the end of the picture, you'd never wait for the beginning. You just walked in and got.
And I remember they had double features and cartoons and coming to.
Oh, when a cartoon had a real yell. Yell and scream.
Yeah, that was great. Great times.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And there was something called a Mellorol. And the man would give you a cone, and then he'd unwrap some ice cream that was a cylinder and push it in there.
Uh-huh.
And my sister was older than me, 8 years, and she would eat hers very quickly. And she'd say, can I have a taste of your cone?
Oh.
I said, are you going to bite it or are you going to lick it? She said, I'm going to lick it. I'm going to watch you. Anyway, every time I gave her my cone, she bit it. Every single time.
Well, Mr.
Well,
Lowe,
now we talk every day on the phone.
Oh, that's great.
And I would never give her my cone. I know it. I'm learning my lesson.
It was so wonderful talking with you, and we could go on talking forever. It's just
wonderful.
Oh, it's
so much fun, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
One of the things that I want to say is that, you know, sharing the love of family, I know that they're all with us. So I'm sure your mother's very much around you, and all of the loved ones that have passed on are
I
still.
Talk to her all the time.
Yeah, I
you
know
when
that.
My mother passed away, I used to dial her number.
Aww.
And it would just ring on Sunday. My wife once in a while said, did you just call your mother? No, she had been gone a couple of years. And I was still dialing the number and listening to the ring. Hello, Mom, you know.
Well,
no, I'm a sentimental fool. But
I'm sure that she answered that call. You know?
How sweet of you to say
I'm
that.
I'm sure she answered that in some way. And, you know, so I know that they're with us, that they're with you. And it's just been a thrill, a delight, one of the great thrills of my life.
And mine.
And I want to make sure.
Oh, thank you both.
Well, you're just such a gift to the world. And I want to make sure to give out your website again. Listeners, please visit www.stomdelouise.com. Don't miss it. Run there right now and visit
it. Sonia, thank you so much. Joanna, I'm very grateful to you.
Thank you.
You warmed my heart today. Thank you.
I felt like I was talking to a cousin I've known for life. So.
Me too.
You're always welcome back as our guest.
Oh, I'd love it. I'd love it. Just call me and we'll do it again.
Great.
Well, this has been a very, very special edition of Keeping the Path Lit with Sonia Hiranna.
And at the movies with Joanna Paxinu on Sedona Talk Radio. And that's a wrap.
Big kiss, big hug. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Big hug.